I'm going to speak to you about the reading that we just heard from the book of Amos, the first reading that we heard. And I don't know if I've ever told you the story of how I quit smoking. I hope not. I don't want to bore you with the same stories. But anyway, I was part of this, about 30 years ago, something like this. I was doing something called the Spiritual Exercises of St. Ignatius Loyola, which is just as complicated as it sounds. It was developed by St. Ignatius Loyola, really to train Jesuits back in the 16th, 17th century. And eventually it was adopted by a certain Anglican monastic community as well to help them in the formation of monks. But it was six month long period of things like silent retreats, daily hour-long prayer over scripture, another silent retreat, meeting weekly with your spiritual director. It's very, very intense and more things than that. Weekly meetings with the whole group, people doing it. It was very, very intense. And so at the end of it, I won't go through the details of it, but the end of it, we sort of ended it all with a couple of prayers. And one of them went like this, if I can remember it correctly: "Take, Lord, receive all that I possess, my memory, my reason, my entire will. Use them as you see best. Your love and your grace are enough for me." And so at that point, then we continue on with something like, whether it be a long life or a short life, whether it be riches, whether it be health, whatever it is that you will. And so these 6 months kind of brought you, by the grace of God, into the state where the Spirit of God was able to help you to say yes, very sincerely, to this degree. So the expectation at the end of the spiritual exercises was that there would always be some specific calling that a person would receive. In my case, not to be a Jesuit or to be a monk, but some kind of particular calling. And so your spiritual director would always look for what this calling was. And so I'm waiting for the calling. I'm, in your mind, you're going, well, I could be like Mother Teresa, or I could be like Bernard Mazzecchi, or I could be like Archbishop Tutu, or, you're waiting for the calling, right? And waiting. And then the answer came, and it was like this: quit smoking. And I go, well, that's kind of not what I planned. You had planned something a little more dramatic than that. Do you have any, vacancies, in Nepal or something that I could go to? And so I going, no. And it's in this wait, and it's quit smoking. And I began to think, well, when I said I would take, receive, do anything for you, I kind of meant except quit smoking. Because I had this, I love to make, if you've been a non-smoker, you wouldn't understand this, but as a smoker, you just love to smoke. Really? You love it. Because it's everything. It's how you start the day. It's a cup of coffee. And then, and it also means you're like Humphrey Bogart, Because he smoked, right? And who doesn't want to be like Humphrey Bogart, It was just your whole kind of image. And so I just... really, it just kept persisting. And in a way, I just kept saying no. And part of the problem was, it's an addiction and all things that go along with that. And part of it is kind of like, well, shouldn't you be asking me to do something more religious than that? I was kind of expecting, something, a little more, with a little more, theological content to that. So I do have a little bit of sympathy for both Amos and Amaziah in this story. I have sympathy for Amaziah because he's running a very successful religious operation in the northern kingdom. The kingdoms have divided into north and south, and the north no longer goes to the temple. It's set up its own religious system, not the greatest in some ways, but that's not the issue here today. And it's very successful. The country is very wealthy. The religious shrines are very successful. Things are going well, and everybody kind of knows what their duty is. And then this guy shows up from the Southern Kingdom. It's kind of like, I know, suddenly somebody showed up from Montana or something and started to tell Albertans how to behave, or worse, I guess, from Toronto, and told Albertans, little joke, and told Albertans how to behave. It's kind of like, oh, well, you're not even from here. What are you doing? And besides that, we have prophets. We have prophets associated with the shrine. We have priests associated with the shrine. If we need any prophecy, we know the people to go to because we've got them on the payroll here. And Amos, to make it worse, not just that he's from the Southern Kingdom, he is not a prophet. He says, you heard him say this very clearly today. He says, I am neither the prophet nor the son of a prophet. He goes, I wasn't expecting this either. Here I was, herding the sheep one day, and I get the message. Not one I would be expecting in my profession, let me tell you. But the message is, go to the Northern Kingdom and tell them they must quit oppressing the poor. That's the message. Those of you who remember Martin Luther King Jr. will remember his famous quotation of Amos, let justice roll like a mighty river. Do you remember that? He's quoting from Amos. That's Amos's message. Let justice roll like a mighty river. Because you can see, even archaeologists can see, the big houses were getting bigger and the little houses were getting littler. And so he shows up at the shrine, says this to Amaziah. Amaziah goes, well, number one, this isn't the kind of religious message I would be expecting. And number two, this isn't your department. This isn't your department. We have a department of prophets. You haven't done any of the HR work to get in there. And you just need to go back south where you came from. And again, you can see the kind of mindset. All of us have been part of organizations one way or another where that's how it works, right? It's just not your department. So what is this? What would you call this kind of mentality where God is speaking? I'm thinking of Amaziah particularly, where God is speaking. He comes to us. He gives us a message. It's an unexpected message. It's one we don't want to hear. It's one that's going to demand very significant change and a shakeup of our organization, even worse. What would you call this? There's a very famous, my favorite theologian, a guy named Karl Barth, is writing about the egoist. You could call this turning into a hedgehog. And that is when you hear a message, when we hear messages we don't want, we don't outright rebel. What we do is we just kind of turn into a hedgehog, just kind of like turn in ourselves and protect ourselves. And just pretend we didn't hear. And this is what Amaziah is here. He's just kind of turning into a hedgehog and going, you just go back south. So it's fascinating, his response, this is outside of your jurisdiction, is a fascinating response. And Amos's response is fascinating too. And that is, this is out of my department, but I better go. I better go and tell them what the Lord is telling us what to say. So this is human nature to some degree, right? We can all recognize this in ourselves. I can recognize it myself. Quit smoking. And believe me, it's not just quit smoking. A lot of other things too, right? And it's kind of like, well, maybe if I just play dead long enough, God will leave me alone. Right? And so how do we overcome this? Truly, there is only one human being who has ever totally been open in heart and mind to the will of the Father and to the action of the Holy Spirit. So when we look at ourselves and going, yeah, we are kind of hedgehogs sometimes. You're going, yeah, but we're all kind of hedgehogs, right? We all are. there's only been one human being who isn't totally open to the Father's will and the action of the Holy Spirit. And that is Jesus Christ, God made flesh. And fortunately, that's not the right word to use, but I keep using it. But anyway, fortunately, that person lives in us and we live in him. And as we know him more and more, he transforms our will. He opens us up so that we can say, I really want to say no here. Give me the will to say yes. And he does. He gives us the will to say yes and opens up so we can just become a little bit more like him, open to the Father's will and to the presence of the Holy Spirit and hear the unexpected calls that he places on our lives from places where he shouldn't be, where we don't expect it, and where it's going to shake things up. So I quit smoking, and don't let anybody ever tell you that somebody bugging you to quit smoking doesn't help. I have to thank my wife for bugging me for years, as well as the Holy Spirit for bugging me. I did quit smoking. What I said to the Lord was this: I do not have the ability to do this. Forget about the whole Humphrey Bogart thing, just the pure addiction part of it. I don't have the ability to do this. Please give me the will. Please give me the will. I do not have the will. Sometimes it's important to say that, right? I do not have the will to do this. I don't want to do this. If you want me to do it, give me the will to do it, which he did. And then one day outside of a place you've never heard of, Clandeboy, Manitoba, I was driving along the road, took my cigarettes and threw them into the ditch by the grace of God, and haven't started, although it's been tempting, have never started again. So it seems to me that in our parish community, we have often received messages which were unexpected and unwelcome, which are difficult, which shake us up. But I must say, having been here for close to a year, that we're a lot more like Amos than we are like Amaziah. That this parish has been able to hear the word of God, even though places us in unexpected directions in unexpected ways, and to be able to say, well, I assume you know what you're doing, so I will follow you, even up north among the bull worshipers, wherever it is you want me to go, even though I'm unqualified in all the ways I can think of. If you say go and you give me the will to go, I will go. This parish is, as I said, this parish is pretty low on the hedgehog scale. We'll put it that way. We are open by the grace of God to hear Jesus' will in unexpected ways. So in the next 3 weeks, I'm going to make an announcement at the end of this about a meeting we're going to have, which you may probably already know about. In the next 3 weeks, I would like us again to enter that space that Jesus invites us into, of open hearts and open minds, and to say, Lord, pray through me and help me to know what the yes is you want me to say to, and then when I know, and then when we know it, help us once again to say yes to it. Amen.